All right, well, if you will, turn over in your Bible to Acts chapter 19. We're going to focus in on verses 21 through 41 today, continuing on in our sermon series, Acts to the Ends of the Earth. So Acts chapter 19, verses 21 through 41. This is part 27 in our series together. We're getting kind of close to the end. Acts has 28 chapters. So we can kind of see the finish line. So we're getting there. Today we're going to be at Acts chapter 19, verses 21 through 41. We've probably all heard the poem by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, The Midnight Ride of Paul Revere. And thanks to him, we all know who Paul Revere is. If you didn't know who he was from history, you probably know who he is from that poem. But there are a lot of people who have never heard of another gentleman who was very instrumental in doing the same thing that Paul Revere did. His name was Israel Bissell. He was a postwriter on the Boston-New York route. And so after the Battle of Lexington and Concord on April 19, 1775, Bissell was ordered to raise the alarm in New Haven, Connecticut. And so he reached Worcester, Massachusetts, which was normally a day's ride in 2 hours. And there, according to tradition, his horse promptly dropped dead. Pausing only to get another mount, Bissell pressed on and by April 22nd was in New Haven. But he didn't stop there. He rode on to New York, arriving on April the 24th, and then he stayed in the saddle until he reached Philadelphia the next day. So Bissell traveled 126 hours and 345 miles, signaling American militias needed to rise up and be ready to mobilize for war. And you could probably say that Israel Bissell was a man on a mission, right? He was compelled to get the word out that it was time to get ready to fight. Well, in our passage this morning, we're going to see the Apostle Paul was compelled to share the gospel. And as a result, God used him to change the hearts of a lot of people for Christ. And so let's take a look at the scripture today. Acts chapter 19, verses 21 through 41. It says, when these events were over, Paul resolved in the spirit to pass through Macedonia and Achaia and go through Jerusalem. After I've been there, he said, I must see Rome as well. So after sending two of those who assisted him, Timothy and Erastus, to Macedonia, he himself stayed in Asia for a while. During that time, there was a major disturbance about the way. For a person named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of Artemis, provided a great deal of business for the craftsmen. When he assembled them, as well as the workers engaged in this type of business, he said, men, you know that our prosperity is derived from this business. You both see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but in almost all of Asia, this man Paul has persuaded and misled a considerable number of people by saying that gods are made by hand are not gods. So not only do we run a risk that our business may be discredited, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis may be despised and her magnificence come to the verge of ruin, the very one of all Asia and to the very one of all of Asia and of the world. And when they had heard this, they were filled with rage and began to cry, great is Artemis of the Ephesians. So the city was filled with confusion, and they rushed all together into the amphitheater, dragging along Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians who were Paul's traveling companions. And though Paul wanted to go before the people, the disciples did not let him. Even some of the provincial officials of Asia who were his friends sent word to him, pleading with him not to take a chance by going into the amphitheater. Meanwhile, some were shouting one thing and some another because the assembly was in confusion and most of them did not know why they had come together. Then some of the crowd gave Alexander advice when the Jews pushed him to the front. So motioning his hand, Alexander wanted to make his defense to the people. But when they recognized that he was a Jew, a united cry went up from all of them for about 2 hours, great is Artemis of the Ephesians. However, when the city clerk had calmed the crowd down, he said, "Men of Ephesus, what man is there who doesn't know that the city of the Ephesians is the temple guardian of the great Artemis and of the image that fell from heaven? Therefore, since these things are undeniable, you must keep calm and do not do anything rash. For you have brought these men here who are not temple robbers or blasphemers of our goddess. So if Demetrius and the craftsmen who are with him have a case against anyone, the courts are in session and there are proconsuls. Let them bring charges against one another. But if you want something else, it must be decided in a legal assembly. In fact, we run risk of being charged with rioting for what is happening today, since there is no justification that we can give as a reason for this disorderly gathering." And after saying this, he dismissed the assembly. So an interesting story here. And there are some things that I want to mention here as we go in this scripture together. As we think about Paul being compelled, and I want to focus in on the very first verse there that he says there. He says, "I must see Rome as well." That word "must." Maybe yours says, "I am compelled to go back to Rome." The first thing I want us to understand as we look at the scripture this morning, number one, if we want to follow Paul's example, we should be compelled to continue with God's plans for us. We should be compelled, okay, to continue with God's plans for us. Paul said that he must see Rome again. In other words, he was compelled to go back there. He was fully engaged in God's command to go wherever he wanted him to go. And we see that time and time again in Paul's life. Now, we need to understand something. At this point in history, sometimes as we read through the book of Acts, we kind of forget how many years have been going on since the beginning of all this stuff happened with the early church, okay? So at this point in history, the church was about 20 years old. So we're kind of 20 years in here, all right? So some time had passed. And those who had been with it from the beginning had seen a lot of miraculous things. They'd seen a lot of growth, numerically, obviously. I mean, imagine seeing people preach and 3,000 people coming to know Christ in that day. Imagine seeing people being added to the church every day, those who are being saved. And so these people who had been with the early church had seen this magnificent growth since the very beginning. They'd seen growth spiritually. They'd seen growth numerically. They'd seen a lot of hard times as well, a lot of difficulty. And if you were in that setting and you'd seen all this success in spite of the difficulty that they faced, you might be tempted to ease up and say, "You know what? Let's take a couple of years off. We've been at this for 20 years. We've seen a lot of success. We've seen a lot of people come to know Christ. We've had some difficulty. It's time for us to take a break. Let's ease off a little bit. Let's take a couple of years off and regroup. Let's coast a little bit." But guys, they didn't do that. And Paul here is probably about in his mid-50s, all right? He's been at this for a while. He's in his mid-50s. He's already been on fruitful, difficult journeys, but he gave no thought to retiring. He said, "I'm compelled to go back to Rome." He didn't want to take off. He thought, no, he didn't think about retiring. He went off again, and his passion being to get the message of Christ to the most to the people that he could in the shortest amount of time. He was compelled to share the gospel with other people. And guys, as I read that one simple word there, "I must go," the lessons are clear. You know, we cannot just sit back and coast when we've seen some good things happen. And guys, we've seen some good things happen here recently in our church. Praise the Lord for that. We've seen God working in our youth group, and that's carried over into our church as well. We've seen some great things happening, but now's not the time to sit back and say, "All right, we've kind of arrived. Things are going well. Let's kind of go on cruise control now." You know, when I travel a long way, you probably like me, I like to put on the cruise control, right? You can take your foot off the pedal and just kind of ease back and travel down the road, kind of take it easy. But now's not the time to do that in our church. You know, just as the saying goes, we got to keep the pedal to the metal, right? Okay, we got to keep going. We want things to continue. So we have to continue to engage our culture with the gospel, you know? And so let's continue to do those things. We understand in our society today, I mean, if you look at the news, I try not to look at it too much anymore because it's so frustrating and depressing. But listen, our society, things are going bad. Things aren't getting better, okay? In fact, I think we could all agree that our culture is getting farther and farther away from the things of God, from the things of Christ. Somebody said, I heard this quote, or I read it, it said, we can't just put signs in our yards and on our church marquees and expect these to draw unbelievers to God. We'd like to do that. We wish it was that way, you know? But we've got to get out of our comfort zones, and we have to move toward other people. People that need the gospel. People that we know of. People that God brings to our minds on a daily basis that need the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we have to be compelled, as Paul was, to go after them. Not to browbeat them. Not to be, you know, difficult, or not to, you know, be Bible thumpers or something like that. But to actively pursue, to be intentional. To be compelled to go to people who need to hear the gospel. Paul was compelled, and so we must be compelled to continue with God's plan for us. But then a second thing I notice here in the scripture, and you probably noticed it too as we read it together, number two, the gospel changes the status quo, doesn't it? The gospel changes the status quo. The gospel was pretty much ignored in Ephesus until it began to affect what? The cash flow of the unbelieving merchants. Then it got a little uncomfortable for them. We're seeing these things happen. It's beginning to affect our way of life. We're not making as much money as we used to. And so everything was fine until it began to affect the cash flow of the unbelieving merchants. Then things got a little bit wild, didn't they? And that's always the case, isn't it? Think about our society today. You know, there's kind of a ripple effect as the message of Christ is preached. So what happens when the message of Christ is preached? Hearts are touched. They're changed, right? Attitudes are changed. People's lives are changed. And eventually the gospel results in people's lives being changed. It may not be immediately, okay? There are some people that accept Jesus Christ that still have a lot of baggage. And in time, the Holy Spirit begins to help them be who they are supposed to be. It's not an immediate thing. There's still some things that have to happen. They're still rough around the edges, but there's this moving toward being Christ-like. And so as the gospel reaches people's lives, the result is lifestyle changes. And followers of Christ no longer find themselves with a desire for the things of the world anymore. Our priorities change. The way we spend our money changes. The way we spend our time changes. What we fill our calendars with changes because Jesus has radically changed our lives. And so here's the thing. If enough people turn to Christ, the repercussions can be felt across the entire society, our culture, our world. Because that's the power of God at work. You know, if we're ignored by our culture, it may be because we're not having an impact. Remember the verse that I read last week to Ben when he got baptized? That we're the light of the world, that we're the salt of the earth. We're to be the influencers in our society. We're to be the game changers through the power of God. It shouldn't be the other way. We shouldn't be influenced by the world. We should be influencing the world because we have the power of God living inside of us. And so if we're ignored by our culture, it may be because we're not having an impact. And so we need to ask God to use us, to impact us, our homes, our workplaces, our schools, our neighborhoods. Because, guys, the gospel is what's going to change the heart of man. We can have all these laws out there, and I think we should be about helping laws that will benefit mankind and would match what God's word teaches. We should have laws like that. We should vote for people who will uphold the word of God. We should do all those things. But ultimately, a law that's passed in Congress is not going to change the heart of man. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we want to see our society change, we've got to share the gospel. If we want to see our culture impacted by good, it comes from the gospel. Because the gospel is what will change the heart of man. Nothing else is going to make a dent in society. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel changes the status quo. And then the last thing I want to mention here, it's the last few verses there, verses 35 through 41, is people often go back to what is familiar. Okay, why do I say that? As the Ephesians were, remember they all gathered together, they had this big, powwow, if you will, in the amphitheater. And as the Ephesians were dismissed from the amphitheater there, the last verse, they were dismissed from the assembly, they probably went back to their normal routines, didn't they? You know? How many of these people do you think, how many people were reflective upon the events that they had just witnessed? Perhaps some of them thought about it, but I would imagine a large majority of them just went back to their regular way of life. Almost all of them probably knew who Paul was. They had probably seen, maybe firsthand, some of the miracles that had happened, the signs and wonders. Perhaps most of them had heard the gospel, but probably a majority of them refused to even consider the truth about Jesus because they just had this blind devotion to Artemis. It's what they knew. It's what they were comfortable with. Others were far too concerned with their present economic well-being to give any thought to the eternal reality of what was going on around them. And so this sad set of events here is often what happens today. People often go back to what is familiar because it's comfortable. I mean, we're kind of like that, right? I mean, listen, when I go shopping for clothes, I already have in my mind pretty much what I want, okay? What I'm familiar with, what I'm comfortable with. Now, what I wear may not be the latest styles, but it's what I am comfortable with. And sometimes my wife and my kids are like, Dad, you need to like get along with the times a little bit here, you know? You need to do something different. Well, but yeah, that's what I'm used to. Well, that may be what you're used to, but you need to move on a little bit. Think outside the box a little bit. But we all like what we're comfortable with, right? We all go back to what we're familiar with. And that's what happens a lot of times in people's lives spiritually. They go back to what is familiar. This is why, guys, we've got to show our culture that Jesus makes a difference in our lives. They have to see the difference that God has made in our lives through a relationship with Jesus. We have to show our culture that Jesus truly is the best way. How many times do we see bumper stickers or whatever, you know, Jesus is the way, or Jesus has changed my life, but then when we go about our business and daily life, people don't see that change. They just see us like everybody else. They just see us like, you know, the normal person. They think, well, why would I want to follow Jesus when I can just be the same way that you are? And there's no dynamic change at all. So our lives have to show that a relationship with Christ is dynamic, that it's life-changing. They should see a clear picture of Jesus. And far too often, you know, we don't paint a true picture of Jesus. I mean, don't we want to see people? Don't we want to show people agape love? Don't we want to show people the power of God? Don't we want to show people the grace of God? Don't we want to show people the fruits of the Spirit as mentioned in Galatians chapter 5? Go back and read that sometime. Those are the things that we should be showing to the world, the fruits of the Spirit. But far too often, we show the fruits of the flesh because that's what comes naturally, right? Paul mentions those in Ephesians or Galatians 5. The fruits of the flesh, that's what comes naturally, but the fruits of the Spirit is what comes supernaturally. And we can exhibit those because who do we have living inside of us? The Holy Spirit, right? So the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to produce spiritual fruit. That's why they're called the fruits of the Spirit, right? And so as we let the Holy Spirit work, we let the world see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all the ones that are fruits of the Spirit. That's what we should be exhibiting. And people should see that in our lives. Far too often, we don't paint a true picture of Jesus. We should want people to see the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. And so we need to ask God to give us courage and wisdom as to how to showcase these gifts to an ever-watching world. You know, the world is watching. And sometimes we do make mistakes. We're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes. And the world needs to understand that because they want to be forgiven when they make mistakes. But when a Christian makes a mistake, oh my goodness, it's top news, headline story. You know, somebody falls. And it's like, that's all they focus on. They don't realize that we as Christians can make mistakes. We can blow it big sometimes as well. But we have to understand the world is watching. And so that's why we have to rely upon the Holy Spirit to give us courage and wisdom as to showcase the gifts of the Spirit in an ever-watching world. So Paul's ministry here, kind of getting back to what I was talking about at the beginning, his ministry was part of what he did in sharing the gospel is people began to turn away from idolatry and they began to go to worshiping the one true God. I mean, these guys were all about their gods, and they had multiple gods, a lot of different gods, and they believed in these different gods in different ways. But many people, as they accepted Christ, as they understood that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and they put their faith and trust in him, then all of a sudden they leave these other gods behind and say, we're going to worship the one true God. That's what Paul's ministry is all about, turning people away from idolatry and worshiping the one true God. He was compelled to engage his culture. He was unrelenting. And as a result, he reached his culture, changing everything, including commerce. See, that's what the gospel can do. It can change even those things. So as we think about this story today in Acts chapter 19, how is God leading you this morning? What changes does he want you to make in your life? How should you be compelled? You know, and so as God begins to lead these things or reveal them to her in our hearts, we have to be willing to make the necessary changes in our life in order to accomplish God's will. That's not always easy. It's easy to think about it in our minds, but then to physically do it is another thing. And so we have to be willing to step out in faith and do the things that God has called us to do. Even though it's uncomfortable at times, even though it might cost us something, we have to be willing to do it. So I pray that we'll be compelled. I pray that we'll be, that we'll just have this burning desire, that the Lord would just break our hearts for the world around us, and that we would always be about sharing the gospel with people. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you today for the life-changing message of your word. Lord, we see in Paul's life time and time again a man who was compelled to reach the nations with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was unrelenting. And Father, we see the results of the gospel, how it changed the heart of man, how it changed a culture, how it changed the perception of people. And Father, that just shows us the power of the gospel. And I pray, Father, that our lives would show others the complete change and difference that you've made in our lives. Father, as many people just continue to do their thing every day, I pray that our lives would showcase the dynamic power of God and that people would be drawn to that and put their faith and trust in you. So, Father, we just ask you to have your way in us right now. Father, as we sing the song of praise, you make your will known to us. And we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus, and we pray together. Amen. So Andrew's going to lead us in a song of commitment this morning, and perhaps God has spoken to your heart today, a decision that you need to make in your life. You know, now's the time to do that. And right where you are, As you're standing there singing this song, you can make that commitment to the Lord. In your heart, in your mind, He'll hear you. You don't have to speak it out loud. God knows your thoughts. He knows your heart. He knows what's going on inside. He knows the commitment you want to make. And so just make that to Him right there where you are. And then beyond that, we want to hear about what God is doing in your lives. So you can go on line and go to our website and click the connect link. And let us know what God is doing there in your heart. You can scan the QR codes that we have all around here. You know, Jen's made it very easy for us to be able to get that information because we want to know what's going on. Don't sit on it. Don't keep it to yourself. Tell somebody so we can help you get to that next level in your life, okay? So let's stand together as Andrew leads us in this song of commitment. You make your decision for Christ today.